Andy, how's it going?
It's going. It's been a week of a lot of work, not an insane amount of sleep, and we'll probably have at least another week like this as we get into football season. Super close to getting the redesign out. I was telling you before we hit record that like we could ship this today. We're recording Wednesday, September 1st. We could have shipped it yesterday. There's a handful of things. There's one bug that came up that actually was a blocker that we're glad we found. So we got that fixed. And now there's just like a few visual things that I want to get cleaned up just so that when I record these videos walking through it all, it's not immediately out of date or just like doesn't quite match up with the app. And like midweek, no one's signing up, not no one, but like it's very few signups to begin with. So like as long as we get it out before the weekend, we'll be good. So plan is put a lid on everything end of the day today, then tomorrow turn it on. And all that will look like is new customers that sign up will get access to the new app exclusively. Current customers will, when they log in, it'll default to the new app, but they'll have a link to go to the old one. And so, yeah, so that this has been a very long time coming. And this is the first time where I feel like I can't actually see the finish line. Because last week, it was sort of, I knew the finish line was out there. There was a lot of shit that could have come up that just like took us completely off course. And so that hasn't happened. So we're feeling good. And then also looking at a price change that'll roll out later this week for new customers. So yeah, a lot in the works. And it's just for me, been busy trying to figure out how do I balance all this? How do I coordinate while moving forward on the emails that need to get written and all this other stuff? So
yeah,
we'll get through it, but definitely making me realize need to start working with more on the growth side, especially is like bring on some contractors to just help with these things because I can't move it all forward.
Yeah. But yeah. I will touch on that in a minute, but I had a question about the, like the front end project. Like, do you all do retros or will you do a postmortem on this, like as a project to try to learn? Like,
yeah, that was actually something Jordan asked. Jordan is, I mean, he's like, I don't even know what his actual title is, but it's like head coach, but he's basically kind of head of success, customer education, that sort of thing. I mean, that was a question he actually asked. And my answer was no, because this is, we've only really had one other project of this scope. And at that point it was me, Matt, and John. So three of us. And like, there wasn't much to talk about then, but I think doing something like that would be valuable for this. I'm just guessing you do them. And if so, like, what do they look like?
We do them some. The development team does them every sprint, so every 2 weeks. And it is, what do you want to start doing? What do you want to stop doing? And what do you wish we did more of? And it's just, you know, during the meeting, we take a few minutes and, you know, people put their kind of two cents in, and then Brian kind of just talks through what everybody has said. And then this is the hard part, I think, is try to action those things into the next sprint of either how we work or what we prioritize or whatever. We are doing a bit of a redesign too. And are doing that in the form of like what will be at least one really big blog post about like how we kind of conceptualize the redesign and went through the whole creative process and all this kind of. So we're kind of doing it as we go. I actually have a recording with our designer later today. But I just think it's helpful, however you do it, like to capture that somewhere, even if you don't do anything with it right now, so that then the next time something big like this comes up, even if it's not the same type of project, you're able to say, oh, remember, you know, we didn't do whatever, a stage rollout, or we didn't get a, you know, user testing on this or whatever, just because you forget all the bad stuff.
Yeah, no, that would definitely be valuable. I mean, honestly, I think the biggest learning for us is just this was way too waterfall of an approach. And it wasn't intended to be that. It just quickly snowballed into that. But yeah, I think it's something I could definitely learn a lot from. I think just getting everyone's opinion would be helpful. So that's like, we have prioritized that post just probably end of the month, because that way like football will be up, because there's going to be some issues that happen with football. So it's like, we just need to wait for some of the craziness to go away and then can be a bit more strategic. But yeah, I think that's a good idea.
Nice.
How have things been going on your end?
Yeah, pretty good. I mean, our two AEs are getting up to speed and onboarded. One of them closed a deal last week. So in his first two weeks, closed a deal. Have the other one. Yeah, right. Exactly. Exactly. The other one is bringing a lot of new leads from like outbound prospecting. So like, yeah, both of them doing really, really good so far. And it's just, you know, it's just a process of getting them up to speed and stuff, but looking very much forward to the time when new deals come in and, you know, neither Matt or I are involved in the process.
One of them though, you had said that larger deal, Matt was involved, but you weren't. So that's at least a step in the right direction.
Totally. Yeah. Matt has closed some deals before too, but I mean, it's all just like focus, you know, it's like Chad and Michael wake up every day and think about how they can sell stuff. And that's exactly what everybody should do. You know, it's like not sell, but like wake up and how can you do the thing that you're hired for? And that is like the most important thing to you. And like for me and for Matt, like to a similar degree, you know, and that he wears a lot of hats, like he's just got a bunch of stuff that he thinks about. And to be able to take sales and put it in its own bucket for Chad and Michael, I think is really, really helpful. And we're starting to see like the impact of it already just 2 weeks in. So it's cool.
It's still cool. Early, obviously, but like, as you see one, how did one get pulled into the deal versus the other?
So we have two reps. They're both based in like central time zone. So one's in Minnesota, one's in Texas. So we can't do like East Coast or West Coast or whatever. So we're actually doing like North versus South, North and South. So that's only for outbound though, right? For inbound, it's just round robin. We use HubSpot for like all of our forms on the site. And so when somebody says, hey, Bob wants information about this thing, Bob puts the email address in, he gets routed one time to Chad and the next time to Michael. And so for prospecting, it's based geographically based on one of them has kind of the North and the East, and the other has kind of the South and the West, and tried to break it up. Like, you know, it's what we think is appropriate based on like number of big markets and stuff like that.
Right. And then you had mentioned one had been driving a lot of leads with the prospecting. Could you see a situation where they specialize a bit more? I know that wasn't your intention going into it, or
yeah,
maybe like bringing in someone under them that one of them trains to do that. Like,
You're not gonna give up on this. Yeah, I think that. So we'll link up in the show notes a webinar that the folks at Limlist. So Limlist is a prospecting company, French company. They're fantastic. Did with the like vice president of sales from Zoom Info. Zoom Info is this enormous kind of B2B database of leads and contacts and stuff. And the guy from Zoom Info was talking about like, you know, there are 500 reps or something like that now, and they've tried every different permutation of, you know, full cycle reps versus specialists and all this kind of stuff. And they said 100% that having a specialist is the way to go. So you have SDRs and different types of SDRs that target different types of markets and size customers. And then you have AEs that are even more specialized with like mid-market, enterprise plus partners, things like that. So I think that was my inclination anyhow. On the growth side of things, I think that would probably be our next hire is a or two, maybe like SDRs, or maybe bring the retriever folks back on. But I think it's really helpful at the beginning for Chad and Michael to do the prospecting, to get the language the customers use and learn more about the use cases and stuff like, because I mean, they're just doing so much more of it than I ever did that they're learning a ton, like even in the first 2 weeks. And we're starting to hone in on like, ooh, this application in this niche is really popular and we're getting a lot of response from it. So like all of that is, they're good learnings so far. Like we're getting data pretty quickly.
That's awesome. Going back to one of the things you mentioned where it's like they wake up every day and think about how to get more sales. And that like that's really the goal of anyone is or should be is to figure out how do you get the big things done. For you, what does that look like?
No, yeah, it is really clear. For me is to make those guys successful, like through this month.
And I guess not even just in that department, but as you in your role as CEO.
Mm-hmm. Like yeah, no, that's what I'm talking about. Like
okay.
The most important thing I can do right now is make those guys successful.
Okay.
And that will be the most important thing through the end of the month at least. Mm-hmm. I think by the end of the month, they will have been on 6 weeks for what we sell. Like I think they should be pretty self-sufficient. And my goal is to only come in after like the second or third call with like bigger deals, but they should be able to close, you know, kind of medium-sized deals by themselves. At that point, I think will be, you know, this time where I kind of sit back and refocus a little bit, and it probably will be more on like marketing and filling filling their pipeline, because their success will still be like the most important thing for us through the end of the year, probably. But instead of just helping them be successful reps, is like just getting them more leads to work with.
And then how has it been going just balancing that with everything else? Because that's something like I've felt a lot is the top priority right now is probably getting ready for football. And then very close behind that is shipping the redesign. And it might be flipped, but it's just like with a seasonality, it's just the start of football is just so massive. But like with those two things being what I'm focused on, there's still other things I have to do. And it just gets very easy for that to just completely fall by the wayside. And that's something I've been struggling with. So how is that going with you?
I think similarly that like I only have so much one time in the day, but two like mental energy to tackle like all of these things that come up. And like you and I were talking before that, like, I think the answer is having people in these kind of key roles or like in every kind of representative division within the company that entirely owns that thing and like senior enough to where they're able to make all of those decisions or almost all of those decisions that you're making right now to like free you up from a time and mental energy perspective to go do things that you like or things that you're uniquely good at. I think that's like obvious and like easy to say, but like one, finding those people is really hard, and two, giving yourself the grace to just say, this is your thing and this is the goal. This is what I want to achieve at the end of the month or the quarter or whatever. I don't care how you do it. Like that's a pretty big step, I think, for people like you and I are at the places we are. But if you look at like Zoom Info or whatever, like HubSpot, like, you know, the CEO is not making 100 decisions a day. So I don't know, like how you're like stretched then. Like I saw a great like analogy, like not enough peanut butter and too much bread, right? Like you're spread too thin, more than you want to, at least making more decisions and being involved in more things than is probably like optimal, maybe healthy. Like what's the path to resolving that, you think?
Yeah, it's challenging where by making the redesign so comprehensive rather than doing more of an agile approach where it's like we kind of iteratively ship these improvements and then down the road, hey, voila, we have this new app, but it's been kind of shipped in pieces. It's just like, I think that has forced me to be very hands-on there because we don't have someone really owning that part of product. And so it's like, I see in our market, especially, significant opportunity by just taking a very, very meticulous look at UX and design and all everything else. Like that's more my personality in general. But like, yeah, we don't have someone to do that, so I've got to do that. And then, yeah, on the marketing side, it's like that falls to me. And so, honestly, a lot of it just doesn't right now isn't happening. Jordan's doing a really good job improving our office hours and everything around that and getting documentation updated. But like, there's not new stuff getting added to the mix when there's like things we know we want to do. And so, yeah, like right now, it's just not, it's like you were saying, yeah, I'm getting spread too thin. And so rather than just like make a shitty sandwich, it's just kind of like you don't eat or you cut the sandwich in half and just are good with that. But I think the path out is Matt owns the models, like that side of the business. And we'll have in our weekly strategy session, we'll talk about the models and like I'll have a good idea of what he's working on. And if I'm curious, I'll jump into their calls. But like he and Will can run with that. Matt can direct that and really keep Will on the right track, answer his questions, help him avoid issues that come up. And like that part of it is effectively solved. Like we've really happy where it is there. And so to me, it's going to be a while before we solve that on my side of the business, because I just don't think there's much low-hanging fruit there. On the dev side, that team is just more mature and established. And so like front end, we have Brian and Eduardo and like they work very well. Like right now with the redesign, there's a lot of coordination between them and the designer. And I'm kind of the go-between for that. That's not efficient. But once this is out, I think that'll be a manageable thing where we can do weekly call with Eduardo to make it clear like what he's working on. If technical questions come up, he can ping Brian, get those answers. And like, that's a solution enough for us there. On the back end, we've got Ben. And yeah, I've talked with him about like how to shift him into more of a management type position. Because right now, like Matt still is leading those back end calls. And the goal is to get Matt out of that and Ben there. And so like that, I think like those pieces are all pretty close to being moved into place. And then it's just figuring out, all right, like for my side of the business, like what do I need to do there? And that part, I honestly don't know yet. But I think at the very least, like the short-term fix, and probably not even that short-term, is me just moving into like, not out of the CEO role by any means, but like accepting like I am the head of growth, but I cannot be an individual contributor. And that would let things move forward. We just haven't had the bandwidth to get the right people in to fill those roles. But I think once football has started up and we're feeling comfortable, then I'm going to just look at contractors for copywriting, contractors for SEO, and just more things around that. Because yeah, the long-term goal is to have me removed, like one step removed from that, but that's just pretty far off. And so I think in the short term, it's just accepting I'm not able to get the hands-on work done. So let's just bring in people who can.
Mm-hmm. That sounds like a solid strategy. Because like the question I always ask myself is like, is there money we can spend, right, to hire a person or a contractor or whatever to come in and do a thing that would then free me up to go spend my time doing higher leverage things that have a bigger impact? And like, I think it's a scary thing a lot of times, you know, because then it just puts the pressure back on you, you know, which like, I don't need more pressure, you know? So like that train of thought is kind of exhausting sometimes. But I think that that's like what you're saying and like seems to me to be like the healthy way to look at it.
I mean, from my perspective, the alternative is the pressure's on me because I'm the one doing those things and I'm just not doing them. So like, I guess that's really it, where it's like, these are things we know we should be doing. I'm the one who's like, air quotes, supposed to be doing them because there's no one else to do it, but I don't have the bandwidth to do it. And so there's pressure from that. And I think our solution is, to get other people in there helping. And then me acting as an editor, like someone who's going to give feedback. And again, like not the long-term solution, but that I think is much better. And like right now, I think with certain things, we're kind of there. Like, I mean, for a lot of what Jordan's working on, I'll still give a final check over an outline before he's making a new video, things like that. And like, I'm fine to do that. It's just when I'm getting pulled in too many other directions, I don't have time for that. So like what I'm really trying to do is just free myself up. So from the back end, from front end, from all these other things, so that I can focus on just overseeing the growth projects and the team executing on that. But yeah, it's going to definitely take some effort. And like right now, there's just not room for that effort. So it's like getting this redesign out, making sure we're on a good trajectory with football, and then trying to find a copywriter is probably the biggest one. And we'll just see how that all goes.
It's a fallacy too, that like more people makes things easier, you know, like more people makes things harder to some extent, for sure. You know, more people can definitely get more things done, but then it's coordination and communication and you finding those people and interviewing and bringing them on and providing that initial feedback to get them going the right direction. You know, like you definitely have to have that space to be able to do that stuff. You know,
I'm not good at that. Like my default is the mistakes I don't learn from quickly enough is that it's that like, all right, we'll get too many things in motion. And then rather like, we might not be waiting on me to write the email, but we're waiting on me to review the email, waiting on me for this and for that.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think part of that helps me delegate, because if I'm just like, shit, like Jordan's asked me 3 times about this. Like I haven't had a chance to look at it. I'll usually just be like, all right, just it's good. Even I can't look at it, like I trust you. If you feel good about if you have questions, like let me know. But if you're just waiting for my thumbs up, like here it is. So part of it does force me to just delegate when I have that trust in the person delivering the work. And so I think what I'll need to be very cautious of It's like when working with contractors, it's like, don't hire all these contractors at once, because it's like, go figure out what the most important thing is to get started with, and then focus on that person, like find the right person. Then once I'm comfortable delegating more there, then go to the next one. But it's hard when there's so many things you want to do that you're confident will have an impact. I mean, you must feel that too, of like, there's a lot of things you want to do, and finding the time for it, finding the people for it, knowing what order to do it. And like that all is just, there's no, it's a patience thing. And like, I just don't have much of it.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, for me, there's two things there. One is like the patience, you know, like we're talking about, like, I don't have a lot of stress. A lot of the stress I have is around just time. We took this money, we're putting a lot of it to use, which is great, but I still have, all these other things that I think we can and should be doing. And I want to do all of them right now, you know? And like, it doesn't matter if we spend money today or in 6 months, really. We should spend it today if we think there's a good chance of it having impact. The problem is, like, even though I'm not doing a lot of work on specific things, even like sourcing and hiring and onboarding and getting people up to speed is a lot of work. And I don't have the capacity. I mean, we brought 3 people on in August. Like, I don't have the capacity to bring a lot more people on at a time and then be successful. Like, if we brought in a developer, that's pretty straightforward. But like a marketing or a salesperson, I got to be pretty involved with those people. And so like, we just can't hire more of them right now, because it would create more work for me in the first few months at least. So like, we're a bit constrained by that. I was on a call with a company that's like 500 employees, and they're going to be 1,000 by the end of the year. They just took a big funding round. I was like, I can't even imagine hiring 100 people a month, you know? Like, I mean, they're a massive company anyhow, but like, I mean, that's many, many, many HR people, many recruiters, like processes and procedure. I mean, for us, you know, like bringing in these 2 sales reps, like, just totally broke everything. The next will be a lot easier, but like, that's crazy.
I mean, I think that's where, the startup thing is like, I think it was like Hopin, or there's like some kind of different companies that blew up during COVID and went from 10 people to like hundreds. And that, I'll never really understand that. I think having very strong co-founders will help. Having probably a lot of, from the VCs, like, they will help put in executives. And if they're the right fit, then that can be a big help as well. But like, at our scale, I just noticed, the biggest improvement we felt was when we just handed off not the full hiring process, but for when we got Eduardo on board, it was like, one, working with Blue Coding to help narrow down the pool. But then two, just saying, Brian, I don't code. Matt can code front end stuff, but is not like, he hasn't really done technical hiring before. Like, just own this. And then we'll do the final kind of culture fit interview and that sort of thing. But then beyond that, like, onboard him as well. Like, we'll work together. Let's figure out a test project. And then you work with him on that. And then like, you're going to be working with him closely. And that made it, you can't have like a multiple of how much easier it was, because otherwise we just didn't do it well. It's like, having this allowed us to hire. And when we were the bottlenecks, that was when we just kind of felt stuck. And it's been finding the people who can, like, finding the multipliers in the organization where it's like, all right, like, bringing on Ben so that he can manage the backend team and potentially bring on someone else and get them up to speed so it doesn't fall to me or to Matt. And like, that is huge. And I mean, from your perspective, are you thinking about trying to find a person who can do that for you guys? Because like, that's where if every hire has this much friction, that won't go away on its own. Just like, because this is where it's getting a bit more meta, where it's like, all right, like, these are the roles in the business we need to fill. However, each of those is going to basically report to me or get onboarded by me or whatever. Whereas if you bring on whatever that role would be, someone who can own that, that is then the multiplier, where like, that, otherwise you might just not be able to get the people on board.
Yeah, I think that when we're ready to grow consistently and fast, then that person would, like, if we're hiring several people a month, then that person is really key. Like, we hired a bunch of people in, 6 or 8 weeks, but like, I don't have plans to hire anybody else right now. The tipping point for us will be when the sales team is producing and is like cash flow positive, then we'll want to just keep doing more of that, because then they're like a self-perpetuating cycle. You know, like when they do that, then we'll hire two SDRs, then we'll hire a director of sales, then we'll hire another marketing person to help fill the pipeline for inbound stuff. And like, I don't feel like we have that like flywheel yet. Like we're growing and everything, and like, that's all cool, but like not to the point where like we can have more people all the time.
Right. Where you can plug in another person and consider, or like plug in three people and be confident that two of them will generate a return within the next like few months. Like, yeah.
And, yeah. And you'll invest and then you'll be back up and, you know, maybe not cash flow positive, you know, within 6 months or something on that person, but like you see that path. Because I just think that like a bit of it is like, we're burning money right now, very comfortable with what we're burning, but want to see it getting better, you know, at some point. And then like, we still have a bunch of money in the bank, but like want to see it getting better. And then we'll dip down again, you know, with knowing that in 3 months, that'll be kind of neutral at least again. So.
Yeah. And that's, we're in a similar place where like burning solid amount because we hired opportunistically when we found the right people. It was like, shit, all right, like, yeah, our revenues can't support this, but we're comfortable putting money into the business because we know these people, we need them. And there, these opportunities to hire the right person, those don't come up that often. So when you find it, like, we'll do it. And but now we're at a spot where we're very comfortable. Like, I think we can scale pretty significantly with our current team. And then especially when it's augmented by a few contractors on the growth side. But yeah, it's basically just like, all right, let's prove that out by getting the growth, seeing how things go. And get to that tipping point where we're back to profitability, and then make that decision from there on how aggressively do we continue pushing it? Because again, like, yeah, our markets are different where we're not near the cap yet, the ceiling of earning potential for the core business. And we want to start experimenting with some other businesses, but there's still some potential. So it's like trying to balance the cash flow versus growth thing will become more important in the future. But yeah, it's just getting on that path so that we can see like, all right, like, the tide is turning, things are ticking up, and we're confident who we've got in place.
Seems like y'all on the right path, though. It's I'm amazed by the seasonality. You know, yeah. I know in the next couple of months, you guys will grow by, you know, 20% or something like that. And that's amazing. Like, seasonality of your sports seasons is, because we're just like this. It's like straight line. like a straight line, which is cool, but it'd be cool to see that growth too.
It adds some risks where, like, if you don't get the growth you're looking for, then like, there's only so much you can do to manufacture that in the in-between months. And so, I mean, we're very optimistic for football. I think, yeah, 20 for us would be not a bad outcome, but it wouldn't be a good outcome. We're looking for higher, but we'll just see how it all goes. And yeah, I think there'll be a lot to talk about, especially around seasonality and all that as we start these next couple of weeks come up. But yeah, happy to dig into that. Happy to dig into the reveal of how the redesign rollout goes. And
yeah, I can't wait. Good luck.
This was worth it. So yeah, it's we're at a weird spot, but a lot of exciting things coming down the pike.
Awesome stuff, man. Well, good luck with the reveal and the new rollout. Definitely be keen to hear how it goes next week. And for everyone listening, any questions for Andy and I, shoot us a message, podcast@seekingscale.com. Thanks so much. Andy, we'll talk to you next week.
See ya. Thanks, everybody.